For Darwin's followers, there was no Eden. Primitive man rose up by pure chance from the primeval slime, and here we are. The Bible gives an account with no chances. God handmade the first human man and woman and gave them a place to live with a mandate to serve him as custodians of the earth. While the world celebrates Darwin's theories, believers know that it was God, not chance, that brought male and female together. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a four-part series on the Darwin Delusion with a message he's entitled, God's First Couple.
I know that times are tough, but they've been tough before. There is a story that comes to us from 1929 during that great crash that happened. Jobs were scarce. The Lincoln Park Zoo existed at that time, by the way. Did you know that D.L. Moody, in his biography, said that he took his children to the Lincoln Park Zoo? But in 1925, their chief monkey, who delighted children, died, and they didn't have a replacement. So they put an ad in a newspaper and said, "Would anyone want to play the role of a monkey?" Well, the story is a man who did calisthenics, who was very nimble, applied for the job, got it, wore a monkey suit, and was actually able to eat popcorn and other things and delight the children and wave at them. In fact, he got so good that he would actually crawl up to the branches of a tree that was in his cage. And one day he was swinging up there, a branch broke, and he happened to land in the lion's cage. Well, you can imagine, the man was terrified. He ran to the corner of the cage, and he blew his cover and shouted, "Get me out of here!" The lion just kept coming toward him, looked him square in the eye, and said, "If you don't shut up, both of us will lose our jobs." In today's sermon, we answer this question. A man can play the role of a monkey, but can a monkey play the role of a man? To put it differently, we're going to ask the question that the monkey in the zoo asked, "Am I my keeper's brother?" Darwin, in his book, The Descent of Man, said that humanity has for its ancestors the great ape. He was impressed by the similarities between us and apes, and in The Descent of Man, he works that out and shows that we came up through the animal kingdom. The implications for this are enormous, not only because of our dignity, everything is at stake in this question of who or what is man. Everything is at stake. Peter Singer, who teaches at Princeton University, is a Darwinist. And he takes Darwinism to its logical conclusion. He insists that we are primates in an unbroken continuum with animals, as all atheistic evolutionists do. By the way, today modern evolution speaks of such things as we came from ape-like creatures. That's just a matter of semantics. They can't quite say flat out that we are primates and we came up through the ape world. But Peter Singer does. He says that because of this, we have made an arbitrary distinction between men and animals, and so he's in favor of more rights for animals and less special treatments for humans. Apes have more rights than unwanted children, people with disabilities, and the elderly who no longer contribute to society. And let me quote him directly. "I suggest a period of 28 days after the birth of a baby before an infant is accepted as having the same rights as others." Actually, he's becoming more conservative because I think a few years ago he said that up to the age of 2, you should be able to kill any infant that does not pass the test of personhood in terms of responses and in terms, if he's deformed, Singer says, we kill piglets, we should kill infants too. Pigs, chicken, and fish have a greater claim to rights, according to him, than fetuses, newborns, and the elderly. Everything is at stake in this debate. Who then is man? Well, enough for a way of introduction. We're going to open God's Word. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, if you would please, and later on we'll talk about the implications of evolution in another context, but Genesis chapter 1, this is the third in a series of messages entitled The Darwin Delusion. Very critical for us to hear. When you open the Bible, you discover on day 6 of Genesis 1, verse 24, God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind." And God made creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kind, and it was so. Verse 25, "And God made the beasts of the earth, etc., everything according to their kind." Verse 26, "God said, let us make man in our image." Just that far. Please notice that animals were created on the same day as man. We do share similarities with the animal world in terms of cell structure, bone structure. Many of our features have to do with the same kind of structures that you find in the animal kingdom. And that only stands to reason because we share this planet with animals. And we have food and water and all of the other things that we need, animals need as well. But when we get to verse 26 in the creation of man, everyone should be awake. Notice God says, "Let us make man in our image," plurality. Up until this time, the Trinity has been hinted at, and now more expressly it is referred to. God exists in community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He says He is going to create man in the likeness of God. Man will bear the imprint of the divine image. Wow. What does that involve? First of all, man is tripart, body, soul, and spirit. Animals can think perceptually, being able to assess certain situations, danger, and what have you. But only man can think conceptually. You'll never find animals discussing the Trinity. You'll never find monkeys discussing politics. Though I do need to say that with a smile on my face. I don't know. Recently, it's been a close call, all right? But you see, man therefore differs from animals. Man has a conscience. You can teach a dog, you can discipline a dog if he doesn't do A, B, or C, or D, and he'll respond to that. But animals have no conscience. That lion that you see there on the History Channel or the Animal Channel that takes and just crushes that little sweet little deer who's running for his life, there's no evidence that the lion feels guilty after having done such an awful thing. You see, sometimes people say, well, can atheists be moral? Of course they can be, because they too are created in the image of God and have a moral sense and a conscience. That's where they get their morality from. Out of atheism, no morality, whatever logically can arise, none. The reason that atheists are moral is because they also are created in God's image. What you find also is that man can actually have some of the communicable attributes of God. There's some attributes of God that we can't have. We can never be omniscient or omnipresent, but we can have love and mercy and truth. In fact, the Bible says in some regards we should be like our Father in heaven, who not only is just but forgiving. So we can have the attributes of God, and only man can. This could be extended much further, actually. Because God exists in community, He says, "Let us make man in our image." Families exist in community. And just as the Son is submissive to the Father, so wives should be submissive to their husbands. The same word for oneness in the great Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That word Echad is used of man and wife. They shall be one flesh. Plurality and unity. And then, through their children and through the ministry of the church, we also exist in community as God does. And the Trinity becomes the basis for our unity. That's a separate discussion, but Jesus clarifies that in John 17. So what you have is the uniqueness of man, his creation there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let us make man. Man did not evolve out of some primordial slime or a warm pond, as Darwin suggested in one of his letters, that's where it all came from. Man is a unique creation of God, created in God's image. Now, what are the responsibilities of man? Notice we continue on in verse 26. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Adam was the first king of the earth. And he was to rule with Eve. She also has the image of God. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female created he them. And he said to them, plural, rule and have dominion over the earth. One of the ways in which this dominion was seen is in the very next chapter. And I need to say that chapter 2 of Genesis is a more detailed exposition of some of the events that you have recorded in Genesis chapter 1. You know, there are some scholars who look at it and they say, oh, it was a different writer, because notice he's covering the same material. Of course, some of the same material. But it is simply a more detailed accounting of the first chapter, which summarizes it all. So part of the dominion was in verse 19 of chapter 2. God said, so out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. Well, my friend, as you know, Adam played a tremendous part in our history, because when he sinned in the Garden of Eden, in effect, all of us sinned as well. And that's why the Bible teaches that we needed a second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to redeem us, to wipe out the sins that are in our lives as a result of the first Adam's sin and our own. And that's what Christmas is all about. Is there a time of year that is more blessed? A time of year that warms our hearts, and a time of year in which we rejoice? I have in my hands a CD I'd like you to have so that you might be able to worship even more effectively this Christmas. It's entitled Christmas Favorites, the Moody Church Collection. Our choir, our orchestra, together, producing a CD that you can use in your car, in your home, to remind you of all of the beautiful songs and the beautiful choruses of Christmas, such as, O Come All Ye Faithful, for unto us a child is born, Gloria, 14 in all. Stay tuned, because in a moment you'll be told how this special CD can be yours.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapping up part one of God's First Couple, the third message in his series on the Darwin Delusion. On Monday, more on the dominion God gave the first man in supervising animal life here on earth. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our Christmas Favorites CD will add richness to your holiday season. And this CD is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next Running to Win.